You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Wednesday, 21 August, local inflation data due 10 a.m. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Jimmy Muaha, Sasol results. Loads of ouch. Just everywhere you look, there was ouch. Scott Cummins from Avenge, latest results. Plan to split the business into two operational units and perhaps the listing both locally and Australia. And then you're going to be talking around that inflation data, rate cuts. Importantly, how quickly can they come down? First cut in September. Nice. But, you know, how long before we are, I don't know, got a prime back at, I don't know, 10%? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from Business Day. Qatar Airways buys a 25% stake in SA's Airlink. Airlink currently flies to more than 45 destinations in 15 countries. This, of course, as Qatar also took a 49% stake in Rwanda Air recently. News 24, end of SA rail woes in sight after discovery that Chinese trains use generic parts. This came out of the Thungela results. Remember, we couldn't get the spare parts, so the trains were abandoned. Well, turns out, generics. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.2%, NASDAQ off 0.25%. Over in the East, it is mixed. Sydney up 0.4%, Tokyo down 0.7%, Hong Kong down 0.9%, and Tencent up 0.75%. Commodities mixed, gold is up at 2,553, Brent down 77.07, platinum down 9.59, and palladium green at 9.18. Rand is 17.79, Bitcoin 59,300, and top 40 opening call, well, a green open, but 26 points, which is what, 0.03% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jimmy Muaha, independent analyst. Jimmy, appreciate the early morning time. Sasol's been, I don't know, it's been like the horror torture. We got a production update, about a month ago, which actually wasn't bad. Trading update last week, early Monday, which was a horror. And then we got the actual details yesterday. Lots of write-downs, including Secunda. Also lower earnings, no dividend. I mean, I read through them. I listened to the call. Hard to find some green lights, except in some areas I suppose they're profitable and they're taking some pain. Your take, I mean, is this a stock to stock up on, or is it a stock to run away from? How brave are you feeling this Wednesday morning?
Morning, Simon. You know me, I tend to be braver than most. I actually spoke to the Sasol CEO, and we went through this. We went through the 57 billion rands worth of impairments, the 73 billion rands worth of net debt. We looked at, asked about the plan for the business and the turnaround. And I think what gives me confidence around Sasol is the impact that Sasol has on the local economy, the South African economy, and the fact that they've acknowledged where the shortcomings are. I mean, if you think about the business where it stands, the Lake Charles project, the chemicals project, was a huge step out of what they traditionally knew, and the business has not necessarily done as expected. The chemicals landscape is very different globally to what it might be in South Africa, and I suppose Sasol had a lot to learn from that. It's an expensive exercise to learn too, but I think when we look at where the business is sitting at the moment, they kind of have an idea of what they're doing. They spoke to the dividend matter directly and said, look, we're actually going to adopt a new dividend policy that's now been passed by management. We're going to rework things. We're going to restructure and reposition the business. And I think what brings investors comfort, I mean, the share price was down about 6% yesterday, but what gives investors a bit more comfort is who the CEO is. The CEO is no stranger to the Sasol business. Simon Baloyi has been within that business for decades now, having run the Secunda business almost for the longest time as well. And that business is part of the energy business, and that energy business has been doing exceptionally well. If you look at the performance of the energy business over the last 12 months, that was one of the portfolios within the Sasol group that didn't underperform like the chemicals business. So very stable and knowledgeable management team that's there. And I suppose the market's also providing for that. I mean, we saw the share price, as I said, 6% down on the day, but it could have been a lot worse. The share price has been lower in the past.
Absolutely, and I take your point. And I suppose in a sense, what I mean, we could accuse this of being kitchen sinking results. The other side of that coin, of course, is just positioning the company for the new reality in the future, and that the pain in these numbers will help in years to come, perhaps.
Absolutely, and if you think about it from... at least from the CEO's perspective, you stepped into the role in April. The results reflected end of June. Effectively, yeah, this is not your financial year. You're starting off of a very low, a very good base to be able to show that we can turn the business around. And if you think about any company that's had a CEO come in from within the ranks, you think about someone like Mary Vilagazi at First Rand, the market tends to favor those kinds of CEOs because they understand the business in detail. Simon Baloyi is an engineer by trade, understands the ins and outs of the Sasol business, has a great team behind him, and the board that's making the decisions at the moment clearly understands where the business was, what it's gone through, and they've come out to the other side. Now, from a rebuild perspective, if anyone's going to be able to do it, it's going to be the existing team. So I, for one, happen to remain optimistic around the Sasol picture. I know there's a lot of debt and a lot of impairments and everything that's gone through, but the business is holding steady. The business is still very cash generative and cash flow positive at this stage. Yep. And they strongly believe they can turn it around.
Yeah, no, take your point on that. We'll leave it there. Jimmy Moyaha, independent analyst on our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. It's just that. Are you holding Sasol? Maybe you're holding in pain. Maybe you're waiting to buy. Maybe you're saying, hey, this is something there. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money can do more when it's investing with conviction. Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to in-depth, broad market research and high-return investment strategies. So invest in a select set of companies with long-term structural growth potential with StanLib's Global Growth Fund. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Same with Scott Cummings, CEO of Avenge, year-end results to end of June. Now reporting in Australian dollars, saw revenue up 27%, gross margins at 5.7%. Scott, appreciate the time. A much better year. A lot of those, and you refer to them as sort of the pre-pandemic contracts, which really struggled because of price escalations out of the way. Margins looking better. Avenge in a significantly healthier space than it was even just a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely, Simon, and good to talk to you again today. We're gradually getting those pre-COVID contracts behind us. Not all of them yet. We've still got a few that are running through the books. So that means that we've got, you know, a reasonable level of revenue that's not bringing positive margin to the group at this particular point in time. But as they progressively complete over the course of the next year or so, you know, we'll see that margin, our work in hand, and our results continue to improve in the future.
Take your point, because I was going to say, as margins should go up, and you said absolutely they will. Are cost pressures largely out of the way? I mean, there's always some inflation, but it's been a wild, I don't know, 5 years or so. Is that largely out of the process?
Yeah, look, it's been a tough period. I mean, some of that stuff, you know, the COVID and the hyper-escalation that immediately followed sort of caught a lot of us by surprise. You know, it came out of left field. When we saw that emerging, you know, immediately we saw that hyperinflation come in. We started to put a lot of mitigations in place to address the issues, whether it's price protection in our contracts on certain commodities, whether it was the use of indices, you know, and other mechanisms to provide some mitigating impact on what might happen. We're actually now seeing that those mitigants we put in place to address that risk is now providing opportunity. So we're actually seeing in areas of the business upside as opposed to a risk due to a softening in the supply market, which is actually now seeing us make some buying gains in some instances, which is great news.
Okay, that is a good story. You mentioned in the results as well that you're seeing a trend towards new energy, towards defense, water and wastewater sort of development. That really does play nicely into the wheelhouse of Revenge, and particularly we're talking here in the sort of the Australian operations. That really is your expertise in many ways.
Yeah, very pleased to see that. Not unanticipated. You know, there has been a softening in the transport infrastructure market. You know, the government spend has been curtailed a little bit there as a consequence of hyperinflation having an impact on their budgets. But, you know, the strengthening of the markets in new energy, water and wastewater, ports and coastal, defence is playing to the areas. You know, a few years ago, we had a look at what the future was likely, you know, how that would likely evolve. And we saw that markets in our specialist regions would likely strengthen. So that's where we've been trying to build up our intellectual property, our specialist equipment and specialist capability in those areas. So we think that's where we can really bring some value to our customers.
You mentioned in the results that you've been looking at a restructuring process, and on the table is essentially splitting the group into Tumakonodao, which would be sort of the Australia or Australasia business, and then Avenge, which is Moomins, which is the contract mining. Again, I mean, geographic and also just in terms of the skill sets kind of makes sense. And you're talking perhaps a listing of both, perhaps the Avenge would even perhaps take a sale.
Yeah, so look, when we looked at it, Simon, we looked across, you know, the infrastructure, building and mining, having a look, where were the synergistic opportunities between those three segments? Clearly it existed between infrastructure and building, whether it be the type of contracts they do, the ability to move people from one to the other existed, you know, working in the same geographies, plenty of operational and strategic synergies in those two parts of the organisation. Moomins and our mining segment, on the other hand, very different characteristics in the types of contracts, characteristics in the location of the work, and then very different with regards to its capital needs going forward to support its strategy and future growth. So it just made sense that they be given the opportunity to develop their own independent and separate strategies and be given the opportunity to be able to access specific capital, might be interested and have an appetite towards those respective segments in which they operate.
How did Moomins do in this particular period under review?
Yeah, so certainly seen some improvement in Moomins. We've got one contract that's operating particularly well. Mm-hmm. We've got another one where we're working with our customer very closely to improve the efficiency of the mine operation overall. So it made a modest profit in the period. We'd like to see Moomins do a lot better than that going forward. Unfortunately, it was hampered somewhat by a reduction in volumes in a couple of other contracts due to, you know, general logistics and infrastructure issues that are affecting South Africa, whereby the client had no choice but to reduce activity in those mine sites. So that had an impact on Moomins for the year. But, you know, what we need to do in that instance is work with our customer and see how we can reduce our volumes effectively such that when better times return, we're there on site ready to get after it again.
What commodities are you working on in the South African environment?
We're working in manganese at the moment and zinc.
Manganese and zinc. Last question, yes. Your balance sheet looking a heck lot better, debt paid down. I was actually going to say, are you happy with it? I suppose you're happy with it. I suppose you're also probably going to say there's a little bit of room for improvement, but it is a much better looking balance sheet, much as I said at the top, a much better year than previous.
Yeah, absolutely, Simon. I mean, as a leader of any organization, you're looking for trends. Mm. You know, are we trending in the right direction? Do we have the right strategy in place? And do we have, you know, something that's going to be able to take the all parts of the organization forward, you know, with confidence from a strategic perspective? And I think as we close out FY24, we've got a green tick against each of those items.
Yeah, I like that. Looking at trends, that's a great idea. Scott Cummins, CEO of Avenge, appreciate the time.
Your money knows it's not just about the money. It's about your returns, returning the favor and empowering people. Your money can do more to change the narrative. Beyond delivering consistent returns, investing in the Stanlib Kanyisa Impact Investment Fund can help eradicate poverty and protect the environment. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Rune Jakimakis, quantitative analyst at Prescient Investment Management. Rune, appreciate the early morning time. We had a June CPI at 5.1. We've got July data coming out 10 a.m. this morning. What's the expectation for this inflation print? Are we looking for a further improvement and perhaps even going sub 5% on CPI?
Good morning, Simon, and morning to the listeners. Yes, there is some good news, at least if we consider the surveys. The economists expect a 4.8% print. So, yeah, bring the champagne. And that's, let's just to phrase this in a bit of a bigger picture. Remember, we're coming from 8%, in 2022. And we're heading, hopefully, and this has been the job of the Reserve Bank, towards the 4.5% target.
Yeah, because, I mean, 4.8 puts us firmly in the band. But as you say, the governor never mentions the band. He always mentions the 4.5%. We are now, if we get that 4.8, we're in touching distance. Does this pretty much mean that a September MPC rate cut is pretty much a lock-in?
That is the question. Although we have found, and again, just taking a bit of a step back in the bigger picture, we are... or let's say the Reserve Bank, according to their mandate and their process documents, they are supposed to look through the, let's say, the exogenous factors, right, that they don't have control over anyway. And if we think about the past 2 years and the hectic, hiking cycle we've all experienced, especially those with debt, mortgages and car loans and the like, we are quite aware that, you know, that's been quite an intensive hiking of the interest rate during a time when the economy certainly was not firing on all cylinders as it was in places like the US, etc. So what the SARB has been beholden to in a large extent is to try and accommodate for one, a few, but especially the external factor relating to the currency. Right. So let me just phrase this in a bigger context. When investors, global investors, look at where to invest their capital, they need to consider the alternatives. Now, if we have an interest rate in the United States of a 5% and a 6% risk free, right? This is the government lending you money at that rate. There's less appetite to come to South Africa for, you know, rates that are or investment returns, prospective returns at least, that are not as attractive.
Yeah.
So this then leads to the danger of money fleeing out of the country to alternative investment sources. So that's a bit of a long-winded way of saying we as the Reserve Bank then had to keep pace with whatever the Federal Reserve Bank in America or the central bank there was doing with their interest rates, just to try and protect our currency and keep our investment option as a, or at least our currency then, as a good alternative. So all that to say, we are still kind of watching the Federal Reserve in that extent. And to be even more specific, the day of our Reserve Bank's MPC meeting, where this decision will be made about whether we're cutting or not, is the very day after that of the Fed. So anyway, that's actually what I think we'll be watching. But in terms of the internal factors, so that was the exogenous factor, right? The currency, etc. But the internal factors all point towards it's time to start cutting our rates.
And that then starts the cycle. And prepping for this interview, it got me thinking, I mean, is there at this stage, or is it going to happen late in the cutting cycle, where as the rate cuts come, of course, we as consumers with debt get a little more money in our pocket. That has risks to inflation. I mean, but my sense is that South African consumers probably under too much pressure to really threaten an uptick in inflation.
Yes, and I mean, that's exactly, it's useful at this point to just sort of reiterate the mandate of the Reserve Bank, which, as we know, is enshrined in our constitution as to protect the currency, but there's this dual mandate where it says you need or that the Reserve Bank is tasked with providing price stability in favor of balanced and sustainable growth.
Yeah.
So there's definitely this growth impetus, but just from that phrase, it's clear that the price stability is their main concern. as it serves better economic growth. If we think about the way that businesses can better plan if inflation is stable, as opposed to the uncertainty that arises from runaway inflation. And we know in our country, the poor get affected by inflation the most, because that the basic goods that we are in that CPI basket are the greatest part of their expenses, etc. So yes, this is a tightrope. This is And this is exactly what the quarterly projection model, the QPM, is tasked with trying to balance and to make sure that those gaps are addressed. In terms, if I'm saying gaps, there's those four elements. Mm-hmm. So it's the currency, which I spoke about earlier, which if the currency is too hot or too cold, the QPM or, and the Reserve Bank are tasked with closing that gap. Second one is the economy. So it asks, what is the potential growth rate of our economy? And are we hot, too hot or too cold? And then it's the interest rate. So we're comparing it with sort of the natural or neutral, we should say, interest rate. Are we above or below that? And then lastly, is it the actual inflation rate, which, as we know, is targeted to be at 4.5%, but there's even further discussions around should our economy actually have a bit of a lower inflation rate and that type of thing. So yeah, that's what goes into these big statistical models, and that, yes, that is what will inform their decision.
Yeah, that debate on, you know, is 4.5 the right number? Another whole story, but we'll leave that there. Rion Jakomakis, he's a quantitative analyst, Prescient Investment Management. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Yesterday, I was chatting with Justin Easthorpe. He's from Uber, talking around residential property market as those rates start to come down. We asked, are you considering buying a home as rates come lower? Almost half said, you've already got one. You don't need another home. A third was saying you're actually looking to sell. Rest keen to buy with lower rates. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Norbuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Kuro results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.